ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Ukuhamba, imali.
Wizi nakayihloka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yaba mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome to everyone again to another Sebenza Live podcast, Behind the Hustle. I'm with Tokozo M as usual.
Yes, yes, yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks, and yourself?
I'm really excited because we have such amazing guests today. Erica and Johan, please intro yourselves before we let everyone into this conversation we're having today.
Ladies first.
Oh, what a gentleman. hey guys, I'm Erica Wittum. I'm the founder, co-director, and editor of Buffer Magazine Publishers, NPO. We are a non-profit, eco-friendly, and online arts and culture publication created especially for international black youth. And yeah. Johan?
I'm Johan Mahomani. I'm the CEO and co-founder of The Collective. We're an e-commerce site which deals with reselling of pre-worn items and new items. So we are currently commercially online. So then we just deal with, we normally take care of your items. So we'll authenticate them. If you're selling designer items on our site, we make sure that everything is original because we have a no tolerance on fake and inauthentic items. You know, don't want to damage our name.
That's the way. But let's get into how you guys actually started your respective businesses.
So, officially founded in December of 2017, I had finished high school around May of 2017, and I had chosen to take a gap year. The only way that my parents were going to fund the gap year is if I did something productive. I knew I was really not that keen on working for someone, even though I had promised them that I was going to like take up a really great internship. I knew deep down that was not for me.
Yeah.
I really wanted to have control over something, and I thought best way to do it is start something like a business in a field that I'm quite interested in and that truly inspires me. So I grew up pretty internationally, moving around every couple years around the African continent. And everywhere I would go, I would constantly meet creatives. But when I would move to a different country, I would want to share their work with people. And people would be like, who on earth is that? I've never heard of them, never seen their work. And so I thought of creating a single platform that can act as a cross-cultural exchange, whereby no matter where you are in the world, you can collaborate with us, share your work, and someone on the complete opposite end can learn about you, follow you, and from there build a solid relationship with you and your work and watch you grow as an emerging creative.
Nice.
Johan,
that's amazing.
That's the follow up.
Johan, what's
no
your
pressure.
Backup?
My bad.
Should really set the standard. So we started The Collective with me and my co-founder, Sipo Charlie. We were actually walking back from school, really enough. So we were walking back from school, we're like, okay. Because he has a magazine called Woke Mag, so he's also a dope creative. And in our school, we're like, we're super dope, we're creative people. So one of my friend at the time, Matthew, he's a model now. He models for like Off-White and like all those designer brands. So then when I came up to him, I was like, okay, why can't we start an e-commerce site that can sell people's items? You know, South Africa is still quite an emerging internet space, you know, there's still not a lot of online shops and stuff. So then we went abroad for like 3 months. So we went to around Europe. And you know, in Europe, we have like super dope sites. You have Grailed, you have Depop and all these sites. So when I was there, I was like, okay, I can sell my denim jacket over there and make money. But when I come here, I can't really, I have no choice but to go cop a new one. Sorry for my slang, I'm sorry.
No, no, it's fine, it's fine. This is for Soweto Live, so it's okay.
Sorry,
So, like, I look at those sites and I was like, okay, let me let me take that inspiration and take it back home. So then also, by also working at factory, you get to see that it's quite a fast fashion place, you know, everybody just coming in, buying hundreds of pairs of trousers, of t-shirts, of like something they'll wear once or twice. So I was like, okay, where's that going to go to? Probably in the landfill at the end.
Yeah.
Because how many times can you wear a t-shirt? You know, especially a low quality t-shirt, you know, you wash it once, it has a hole, you gotta throw it away. So I was like, okay, let me be accountable for my actions, let me be the change. So then I was like, okay, shots, let me start a site. But I also know that people, we want to be environmentally friendly, but we also want to make a profit, we also want to make some money on the side. So I was like, okay, shots, let me create a site where people can resell the items but also make money, but also be the change as well. So we can create a circular economy and employ more people, because I want to build my company and grow it so I can also be have a big office like this where I have people working, you know.
He's pointing at the studio and this is the office. I'm very okay.
Wow. And then Johan, just to ask, since you guys like had to go overseas, right, just for to have more like ideas on what you guys want to do, who was funding that? How did you guys go overseas? You need funding for that, right?
We had came across a lucky opportunity because Sipo's sponsor is a, she's an MD of a big company. So then she was able to give us the opportunity to travel. So we went on the, do you know, Top Deck? Top Deck Tours is like a Contiki. So we went that for like 3 months. Then we also stayed in London with her. So then that was like giving me like a new culture, because in London, you know, it's like super streetwear. You got like the Macy's, you got the Selfridges, you know, people like so ahead of us here at the moment. But like then, yeah, that exposed me to new cultures. So I'm thankful for the opportunity that the lady gave us to us to expose to Europe and everything. Yeah, so I was sponsored.
Thank you, Miss MD. You know, women always take care of the kids, right?
True.
That's the way.
True.
All right, we're going to go deep into more about slow fashion with both the perspective of the collective and Buffer Magazine. But we're going to take a small break and sort of get our advertising to pay a few bills. And we'll be right back.
This aircon is racist.
For the latest political news
and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amrao, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a chef.
Can you please come in?
Okay, everyone, welcome back. Now, guys, I want to talk about slow fashion or eco fashion that everyone would sort of talk about. And it's a very difficult thing to sort of, especially on this side of the continent. How have you guys sort of, or what are your opinions on eco fashion in South Africa?
So, from my perspective and the perspective of Buffer Magazine, we look at it as a whole, not just fashion, but when we analyze the arts in general. We chose to be online and strictly online to this date. We've never put a single issue in print, simply because I believe that digital is the future. There's literally no reason for us to be damaging all the resources and damaging the environment as much as we do just to get our work across. And so tying it now into fashion, it intrigued me. It's always intrigued me. I've always been interested in fashion. And we've been working on this project for the past 6 months, doing a deep exploration on the South African contemporary marketplace, looking at slow fashion versus fast fashion. And when you look at it, you do find that as a collective nation, definitely it's growing. You see brands like Johan's, The Collective. Couple years ago, if you would have put a business like that here, the market would have been much smaller. But it's 2019 and more in the mainstream. It's becoming more popular. However, I still think that it's not growing enough in the places where it matters the most, mm-hmm. which is in the youth and also in black people. I think those are two markets and two demographics that hold so much power, especially economically and socially. Mm-hmm. However, we find that we're not as far as we could be and as far as we should be. I think we're very fixated, and this is not like anyone's fault. It's how society is. It's how culture is. We're a very like social media driven generation. We look overseas, like Johan was saying, at Europe, at the US markets, and that's what we admire. But a lot of that, most of it, is predominantly fast fashion. Mm. Which is so damaging. Like, I can't even express how bad it is for the environment, how bad it is for the economy, for local markets especially. I just think...
Do you have the same sentiment, Johan?
Yeah, I do share sentiment. Slow fashion is, as people grow, you know, we always want to be different, you know. Mm. And then fast fashion is there to give us that trend, that style.
We all fit in. We all look the same.
Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like human beings, we always want to be like our role models, you know. People want to be like Kylie. People want to be like Kanye West. Mm. So then they cannot always afford Balmain trouser or something. So, of course, they will go to a Zara where you can get it for cheaper. Mm. And those businesses build those business models upon that. Zara is a fast fashion company, we have H&M, all those, you know, they serve a percentage of the economy, the population. So I think slow fashion is growing, but in Africa still needs investment, you know. Mm. You know, a lot of it is lacking investment here, you know. I just took a report, the South African retail made a revenue of about 600 billion actually last year. So that's a lot of money. Mm. And, you know, so where that money going, you know? Mm-hmm. Why are we not investing in our youth? Why are we not investing in our young designers, you know? Why aren't these big companies giving us collections, capsule collections to these young designers? Give us a slice of the cake, you know, that, as we said, I think there's a new trend now. It's called open up the industry. Yes. You know, that hashtag on Twitter now. I think we should start to open up the industry, especially fashion, you know. Yeah. Try to invest into our people. Make sure that people can see it as a viable career option, not just the saying something I do on the side. Mm. It must be said, like, when I grow up, I want to be a designer. Because I believe that in Africa, we have Virgils here. We have the Jerry Lorenzos here. True. You know that. They're here, we just need to like grow them and give them the platform, the tools. That's why I feel like our government is lacking, you know, that they always want our votes, but they never want to like support us, you know. They're always there when it's time to vote, let's go vote. They always target the youth. You always see them at UJ, at Vets, they'll come through, do their marches, and then 2 years later, our kids are out there starving, still waiting for free higher education to this day, you know, more than 20 years after. So I think we should definitely start to holding our people accountable, hold our government accountable. Yeah. Let's start being the change, you know that.
I'm glad you mentioned accountability. How do you guys think maybe more young people can be involved in making sure there's an involvement with eco-friendliness? And you know, they just sit there like, oh, hashtag it, let's get involved.
I think as consumers, especially as young people, we often forget our power that we hold in the society, because like Johan was saying, the government or patriarchy or people above us make it very, very hard for us to even just get a toe in the industry, let alone a whole foot. I think like it's very, very simple. Literally, do your research. It's so easy. If you just put the name of your favorite store or your favorite brand on Google search and right next to it search sustainability or ethical, you will literally find all the info about whether or not what practices they follow, where they source their materials, how much percentage they give the people that are making these clothes, the environments in which their factories are in, if it's safe, if it's healthy or not. And from there, shop locally, shop ethically, and shop black. That's like what I will always say. That's like the biggest way in which you can support it. Just do your research, be responsible. You also as the consumer, should be held accountable because you decide where you place your money. Nobody's forcing you. It's literally in your power. If you choose to boycott a brand, sure, maybe as one person you think like, what is this? What effect does this really have? But if you tweet about it, you talk about it, you get your friends to be on board, you get your family to be on board, you can actually inspire genuine change that is long-lasting change and that will actually bring viable results.
Now, it's not easy going into, like, careers or the choices that you guys have sort of made with your businesses, especially with parents, because they're going to sit there like, what are you doing with your time? So what motivation can you give to some of the parents who are listening right now about understanding sort of the kind of journey you guys have taken? Because it's quite the hard banner to carry.
Especially as being a black person in a black family. Mm. If you come out and you start saying, I want to be a designer, they're going to look at you and be like, well, no, that's what we're doing. You know, like, they're going to be like, okay, we're always being pushed to be lawyers, doctors, and all that other shit. And of course, we need those more black doctors and more black lawyers. True. But let's give our children options, you know, that as parents, we should start to support our child. If it's your passion, and you can see that child's passion is to be a designer or to run a business in the retail space, support him, you know, support him or her, you know, that at the end of the day, it's not your life, it's his life or her life, you know, that as a parent, you're just there to support the child, you know, that. So, like, I think support, and then support, and also in support, it also means investing in some money. And also,
I was about to ask them, like, probably that's the reason why they're like, don't do that, because I know I'm still going to pay someone things that you're doing. So,
Of course, everything needs money.
Yeah, everything needs money. They need to be the biggest supporters, right?
True. We spend so much money on alcohol, why can't you spend some money on something?
Exactly.
Come on.
You know? And you, Erica?
To go along with that, I also think, like, if you truly believe in your kid and you financially invest in them, surely you should believe that that seed that you've planted will grow, whether it's tomorrow, it's overnight, it's in, like, 12 months, it's in a year, it's in, like, 5 years. You just have to have faith. I think the other thing is many of our... like many of the older generations, grew up in a time where this was still an industry that there was very little direct contact that they had with it. They would sit, they would switch on a radio, listen to their favorite artist, or switch on TV and, like, watch a film, but it would end at that. In this generation, we have social media, we have the power of social media, where everyone is given a voice. Everyone is literally given a platform for free. Yes, some people choose to abuse that platform, use it for the complete wrong reasons, but there's also so many people who don't. And in order for you to support, you need to educate yourself on things, meaning you need to get involved in the discussions, which is why... for example, with the magazine, yes, it's advertised as being created especially for the youth, but we don't hold any limits. We don't put any limits in place as to who can access the magazine. You just type buffermagazine.com and all the issues are there for free. So long as you have Wi-Fi connection, doesn't matter your age, your race, your social class, how much money you make, you have access to all this knowledge on young black artists, young black businesses, anything in this field. And surely if you educating yourself, there's so much that you will learn, but there's also so much respect that you will gain for these kids or for us, for our generation. But it all starts in just, like, having the will. And if you don't have the will, if you're closed-minded, like, of course, you'll always live in a bubble. And you'll never leave that bubble.
And how is the magazine, like, funded, since you said everything is, like, for free? And then
same as what Johan was saying. So,
And it's non-profit. I'm sorry, I have to stress that part. Non-profit magazine.
It's non-profit because arts is something that the systems and patriarchy have for a very long time made to be a very exclusive thing. We act as though it should only be accessed by the elite or by a certain type of person, when in reality, I completely disagree with that. We've been running for a year. This year we're moving into applying for larger funding and larger grants from bigger organizations. But mm-hmm. in the first year, it's predominantly been my parents. And day-to-day operations.
Your parents suffer, yeah?
But you'd be surprised, because day-to-day operations of the magazine, mm-hmm. it's like costs next to nothing. Mm. The most expensive thing I've had to pay for, like directly with the magazine, is just buying a domain name. Mm. But getting the template is free. Mm. Having a computer, I own one, like Wi-Fi you can find anywhere. Mm-hmm. Everything that I need to do is like I can do on my phone or on a laptop. Mm-hmm. And it's also just, as you go through it, you learn. You'll realize there's so many things you can do from like the comfort of your bedroom mm. without having to pull in crazy resources, just using like your creativity and the creativity of those around you. You have everything that you need. So it's not like, it doesn't cost that much to run to mm. begin with. It's not like a multi-billion dollar industry or anything. It's like very small. It's such a niche little world. But another avenue in which we are able to make money is also through advertising. And that's like external. It's not directly taking money from the people. It's taking money from businesses that mm. want their product or their known. Business to be known. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. Now, guys, same with you.
Yeah, true. My family's not in a situation where they can support my business at the moment, but mm. I've been self-supporting it. So I work, so like most of my salary will go into my business, because running an e-commerce site is quite challenging, you know. Mm. You have to first buy a web hosting, you have to get a Wix account, you know, mm. you have to build those templates, and those templates are not free. Mm-hmm. But like, if you push and then you really manage your money, you can do it. There's nothing that can stop you.
Mm-hmm. Something that always fascinates with people who are sort of doing one business side and one business the other side. How do you balance the two? How do you make the time for each one and give it really 100%?
Time management. Time management. We all have 24 hours in a day, but how you spend it decides how successful you're going to be.
Yeah.
Simple.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah,
is all I have to say. Mm. Like, just work smart, manage your time well, and like things will come to you in due time.
All right. And guys, now how can people reach you? Let's get into the sites and the
yes.
The Instagrams, the Twitters.
The exciting stuff.
Let me just give you a breakdown of the collective. So if you want to sell on our site, posting is free. We just take a commission of about 10% of the sale item. Mm-hmm. So then to list is free, and we handle your shipping. So everything will be handled by us. So then you mm-hmm. can just sit in the comfort of your bedroom, knowing that your items are for sale. And
my kind of shopping.
Super slow.
It's slow. But after 1 week, after the transaction has gone through, after 1 week, we'll pay your amount into your account. So then to catch us, you can catch us on the collectiveshop.co.za. So just go on the site, click the sale icon, and then you can just post three pictures of your items, and then we will immediately verify the items to make sure that they're authentic and they're real. Mm-hmm. Or you can tell us that you're selling an upcycled item, and then we put it in a different section of the website. So we also promote people to sell their own stuff if they want to. So we're just a platform that helps sellers connect to buyers, you know that.
Nice.
Erica, your side?
Okay, so website is www.buffermagazine.com. On Instagram, we're at Buffer Magazine. On Twitter, at Buffer_magazine. Catch us on SoundCloud at Buffer Magazine.
Okay.
Besides that, I would say if you're based in Johannesburg, while you're listening to this for a couple more weeks, our exhibition at Hazard Gallery in Maboneng is still up. It's called Fashion in an Awkward Space. It's a 6-month collaborative fashion photography project between Fashion is Art, Ape Town 101, who's a dope photographer and really good friend of mine, Buffer Magazine, and 9 young black South African designers. Mm. All the images are up. You can check it, 7 days a week. That's a good place to start.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for the wonderful conversation.
Thank you for having us.
No more to do more. Get up.
The Department of Arts and Culture is giving away a bursary for anyone at the age of 18 to 35. If you are currently unemployed with no previous experience, this is just the one for you. The closing date is the 3rd of April. Visit their site for more information at www.dac.gov.za.